heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. I'm Patrick Conley, hoping your 2023, it's a new year, is off to a great start. Now, liturgically, of course, the cards are stacked in our favor. Kicking off the year with a celebration of our Blessed Mother in the ongoing Christmas season, and of course, she sets the example and paves the way for all practicing Catholics in our lives of faith. And then, this weekend, we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord, the great revealing of God made flesh to all nations, symbolized to us in the coming of these gift-bearing magi from the East. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the symbolism behind these gifts that the Magi bring to the infant Jesus, the royal gift of gold, the divine gift of incense, and the death-foretelling gift of myrrh. But these were appropriate gifts not only because of what they told about this baby, but also because they came out of the treasures of these men. They were costly gifts. And for me, there's a challenge there. If I acknowledge the great gift the Father has given to me in the incarnate Jesus, what am I willing to give him in return? Let's not stop our gift giving before Epiphany. Let's bear our own gift to the infant Jesus. Let's give our lives to him. We may have some reticence in turning our whole selves over to God, but as the dear late Pope Benedict said, if we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. Do not be afraid of Christ. He takes nothing away, and he gives you everything. When we give ourselves to him, we receive 100-fold in return. And speaking of gift-bearing, Almighty God and Pope Francis have given us quite a gift in this Christmas season, a new auxiliary bishop. As you've no doubt heard, Father, now Bishop-elect, Michael Eisen, who has most recently been serving as pastor of the churches of St. Michael and St. Mary in Stillwater, the parochial administrator of the Church of St. Charles in Bayport, and the canonical administrator of St. Croix Catholic School, has been appointed by Pope Francis as the new auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Let's listen as Bishop-elect Eisen reflects on his attitude on receiving the call from the papal nuncio and some encouragement he got from the Liturgy of the Hours in formulating his response.
So a little bit of hesitancy, and yet, you know, I'm not going to say no. So I say yes, but with like, does the church really know what she's doing with asking me? And so I was given this great gift Tuesday, so less than 48 hours. It's Office of Readings, and the reading is by St. Bernard, and that itself didn't get lost on me. The guy who had been encouraging me was Archbishop Bernard Hebda, and now St. Bernard's got some words for me. And he's talking about the Annunciation, and he's talking to Mary. And the gist of the first part of it, I'll just kind of skim over that, was Mary, the archangel waits for your answer. And then he says, the whole world waits for your answer, because you can set us free. And so I was relating to that a little bit, and then I changed the page, and these other lines just kind of hit me, so just a little paragraph. He says to Mary, why are you afraid? Believe, give praise, and receive. Let humility be bold, and modesty be confident. So I don't want to brag, but a lot of people would say I'm humble. So let humility be bold, and modesty be confident. He says, this is no time for virginal simplicity, to forget prudence. And then the last line, in this matter alone, O prudent virgin, Do not fear to be presumptuous.
Bishop-elect Eisen's ordination to the episcopacy is scheduled for Tuesday, April 11th at the Cathedral of St. Paul. More details to come on that, but to learn more about him, head on over to archspm.org. Another great show coming up for us this week. 2023 is a big year here in the Archdiocese. Besides a new auxiliary bishop and ongoing opportunities to engage in Archbishop Hevde's pastoral letter, there's a big event coming to town, and we're all invited. In fact, we're encouraged to attend. Coming up, we'll speak with one of the organizers of the Tecuquitha Conference, where we can truly encounter, pray with, and learn about our Native American Catholic sisters and brothers. How awesome is that? Plus, connecting your college-age child or grandchild with Jesus, the Church, and a really fun and important summer job. And we know men and women are equal in dignity, but certainly not the same. We're kicking off the new year by focusing on the fellas. Father Tom Wilson, a well-known Relevant Radio spiritual director, talks about masculine spirituality. That's all coming up on the show today. What a great show, right? Well, let's as always pause here at the top of the show and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, with a new year comes new connections with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Happening in our very own archdiocese this July is the Tecuquitha Conference, an annual gathering of indigenous Catholics to reinforce their Catholic identity and affirm cultural and spiritual traditions. This yearly gathering draws many Native American Catholics, so it's quite the big deal that we're able to host it in the Twin Cities this year. Joining us today to share more about the goals of the conference is Michelle Bieksma, co-chair of the 84th Annual Tecuquitha Conference and member of the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Michelle, thank you for taking the time to join us today. Welcome.
Bonjour. That means hello in Ojibwe.
Nice. Very good. Thank you for that. Well, we do want to talk about the conference, but I just wanted to maybe at the start here, explain a bit about the intersection of the Catholic Church and Native Americans. I mean, we probably could and should talk for hours about it, but please help us to get some basic knowledge here.
So there's in our area, there's actually a rich history of Catholicism coming in with the fur traders. Mm-hmm. So you have sort of that, you know, initial encounter way, you know, back in history. And actually, because, and this is actually kind of a favorite topic of mine, is that a lot of the concept in Ojibwe traditional spirituality actually match up with Catholicism, right? Those Catholic beliefs. And so early on, you had people very voluntarily converting, right?
Okay.
It wasn't something that was forced. I mean, it was just the Jesuits coming in, and it was like one lone priest, and he was traveling all over and didn't have the resources to, you know, say, try to entice people or, you know, force people into it. That sometimes that perception is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, even when they came into communities, those Jesuit priests would be adopted into families because, you know, we're especially up in the northern tier and in the New York area and Minnesota, and you've got that cold weather and those winters, you know, if you didn't have someone to take care of you and show you the ropes, you just weren't going to survive the winter. So there's actually a tradition there, and that actually, even in my family, was handed down, you know, and maybe not in so much in a physical way, but it was, you know, that idea. My grandmother and my mother were always like, you know, you take care of your priest. Make sure he's okay.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Well, that's a good start to the conversation. And I am, as I reflect on it, Michelle, I'm thinking of specifically now back then, that's a great example, those Jesuit priests and being taken in by families. That's a great example of how there's an intermingling and intermixing between cultures and ethnicities there. And, you know, sometimes, of course, in this day and age, at least for the those of us who are of European descent, there can be, it takes effort to intermingle sometimes in certain places anywhere. There's maybe some of the lack of that mixing. So maybe just give us an idea of why that mixing and intermingling and learning about other people's cultures, why is that such a good idea for our Catholic faith?
Yeah, you're right. It has become a lot tougher. And I think, as time went on, the focus shifted, and we went through that whole boarding school era.
Right.
And that that created a lot of hurt in the Native communities. So that brought in that division. And that's kind of one of the focuses that we're going to have with this conference is trying to get to do some healing. Our theme this year is Gathering for Healing Through Living Waters. Right, and that image of water is actually very strong in Native culture, but also in our Catholic teachings as well.
Sure.
So at the conference, we're actually trying to, specifically do some workshops where people can come in, non-Natives or even Natives from across the country, and learn about our Ojibwe and Dakota teachings, Lakota teachings, right? And, my theory, and I've heard this from, some priests from my local diocese, I'm actually up in the Duluth diocese, that have said you can't love what you don't know. And that's usually when they're talking about not knowing enough about your Catholic faith or the teachings, right?
Yeah.
But I think that applies to learning about your neighbor as well. I mean, we're all commanded to love thy neighbor. And if you don't know them and you don't understand them, you really can't get to that place of love.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of, Europeans and non-Natives, they want to. They want to reach out. They want to learn more. And it is tough, because a lot of times Native people, because of that hurt, have kind of put up those walls. And they encounter racism, and it's just been going on for so long that it's really hard for them to, let that guard down.
Right.
But there are a few of us out there that are, trying to facilitate that. So that's the atmosphere we're trying to create at the conference this year. So there'll be ones that are kind of specifically geared to people that just want to learn those type of things. There's also be spiritual talks and learning about, some of our Native people that are being put forward for canonization and maybe in the process. There'll be talks on those. There's Nicholas Black Elk. There's the Floridian Martyrs. So there'll be a wide variety of ways to learn about those intersections, the way that, things are intersecting there. And I think once we get into it, you start to realize, we're not quite so far apart. Even the traditional Native people aren't quite so different, even spiritually, than we are as Catholics. We just had a family funeral in my family, and I did a little talk and kind of talked about, the teachings of Ojibwe spiritual, what we say about what happens after death, right? And how that kind of, there's a lot of crossovers, a lot of similarities in our Catholic teaching. We do believe in, the Ojibwe's believe in a life after death. We say that the soul goes on a journey. And on that journey, they're being cleansed before they get to that final place of everlasting happiness, right? So you got a little of that idea of purgatory in there. And,
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, we had Sean Phillips on the program a long time ago from our own here in the Archdiocese, our Office of Indian Ministry here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and he told us a little bit about the conference. But why don't you refresh our memories just about kind of the basics of this conference, where it got started, how it's been, how fruitful it's been, and why it is such a big deal that we're having it here in the Twin Cities this year.
Well, way back when, it started as a way for the priests and nuns that were serving Native communities to get together and kind of, you know, compare notes and support each other and kind of talk through the challenges they were having. As time went on, Native people started joining in on the conference, and it's become a real good place for Native people from all across the country and Canada, and sometimes we've had people from other continents come in.
Wow.
To get together, and it's a safe place to express your Catholic identity and your Native identity, and how kind of honor both of those traditions. And it varies across the country, but, you know, some of us as Native Catholics experience, say, persecution from the traditional Native people. And most of that comes in because of that boarding school issue.
Sure.
You know, they're still experiencing that hurt, so we're kind of seen as traitors or siding with the enemy, I guess, or how can you be a part of that, you know? And I guess, you know, the big message there for me is, you know, just how strong that pain still is.
Right. And I think based on that, too, I know it raises the question in my mind, because I know that non-Native people are welcome, invited to enjoy the conference as well. But at the same time, there might be some reticence among some who would be thinking, well, I don't want to intrude, especially if this is meant to be a place, you know, that's a safe place. I don't want to intrude. So is there that feeling, or how do we navigate that, or who would you encourage to come from non-Native backgrounds?
You know, we really encourage people to come and learn and to come be with us. So if you're coming in a good way with a good heart, you know, you're absolutely welcome.
Yeah.
You know, and even the people that maybe have, you know, some hurt in their hearts, but the only way we're going to be able to heal is if we come together and pray.
Amen.
And learn. Mm-hmm. Right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little tough, but I think we can navigate this. You know, at some point it's going to take some people being brave and stepping out. So I would welcome absolutely anybody with their religious backgrounds that are coming in a spirit of learning and wanting to support people and wanting to bridge that gap. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Great. We're speaking with Michelle Beeksma, co-chair of the 84th Annual Tekakwitha Conference, which is hosted right here in our own archdiocese upcoming July. And Michelle, I'm guessing we should probably hit that. Let's just talk about the logistics of the conference. When is it and where is it?
So it's in Bloomington.
Okay.
At the Doubletree Hotel on Normandale. Okay. And it's July 19th through the 23rd, 2023. That first day is a Wednesday, and that's usually kind of our check-in day, and everyone's getting settled. Things usually, you know, ramp up on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Thursday, there's a grand entry, which is a Native dance where all the Native people wear regalia, and they come in representing their kateri circles. And that's kind of the opening. We generally have a keynote every day. There'll be regional meetings for some of the local circles. And then there's the workshop schedules, right? And those will rotate. There'll be different topics, but we usually try to, you know, disperse them across the day so that you can get to all the ones you want to. And then about 4 o'clock, we usually have Mass. then a dinner break. Thursday evening, we have a healing service, healing and reconciliation prayer service. Friday will be kind of a talent show, entertainment kind of thing. We encourage the participants to maybe express some of their, you know, native cultural talents that they bring in. Some will do dances from across the country, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And then Saturday evening, we usually have a powwow for the participants.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Very good. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of opportunities. Well, speaking as a non-native person myself, for learning, as you said, for coming in and partaking in some of these great events and hopefully contributing to the healing that that is the theme of the conference as well, the Gathering for Healing Through Living Waters. Well, grateful that you've taken the time to join us here today on Practicing Catholic, Michelle, to give us the specifics about the conference and what lies in store. But any specific ways that we can pray for you as we close?
Yep, just pray for the success of the conference. We've actually got a good executive committee, and we're pulling together volunteers, and everything seems to be coming together well. So,
Yeah. Well, we can definitely do that. We can and will do that. And we're grateful for your time that you are spending not only with us, but also, I'm sure, all the time and effort that you're putting into helping coordinate this this wonderful event coming up in the Archdiocese in July. God bless you, Michelle. Thank you for joining us on Practicing Catholic.
Thank you.
You will be hearing more about the Tecuquitha Conference in the months to come, but for now, head on over to archspm.org for more details about the week. There's lots of great resources to be found there. Next up, another opportunity to connect with other Catholics around the Archdiocese, this time through an act of service. Stay tuned, stay with us. We'll be right back.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up a thousand thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chapel with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. You know, here on the show, we love sharing about opportunities for spiritual growth, and especially for the young adults of our Archdiocese. Nancy Schulte, Totus Tuus Coordinator and Family Laity Outreach Coordinator for the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life is with us today to share about how your college-aged kids will be able to serve as leaders this summer with the Totus Tuus program. And we're also joined by Martin Gawarecki, a senior at the St. John Vianney College Seminary, to hear about his personal experience serving in this way. Nancy, welcome back to the show to you.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. Good to be on today.
Yeah, and Martin, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Patrick, for having me.
Great that you are both on the show. Nancy, let's start with you. It's great to be chatting with you again, as always. Please give our Practicing Catholic listeners a refresher on just what Totus Tuus is.
Yeah, you bet. So Totus Tuus is a motto of St. John Paul II's, totally yours, to Jesus through Mary. And he took that from the book St. Louis de Montfort, True Devotion to Mary. Beautiful book, if anybody has the time to read it. But what he did and what Wichita Diocese did was they created this Totus Tuus program that we bring into the parishes. It's a Catholic youth program dedicated to sharing the gospel, promoting the Catholic faith through catechesis, evangelization, Christian witness by the teams that are coming in, and Eucharistic worship. So it's a program that we run here at the Archdiocese, just assisting the parishes in enlightening the faith on the youth and young adults that they have in their parishes.
Okay. All right. Well, great summary there, Nancy. But, you know, this is a summer program, right? So why are we chatting about it now?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So what we're doing right now is we have 38 parishes in our archdiocese that have registered to have a Totus Tuus team come into their parish to teach their youth. And so the team consists of two men and two women, college-age men and women. And so what we're doing today with God's help and with yours, Patrick, being on air, is to try to get the word out that we need these missionaries, these young adult college-age men and women, to come in and evangelize the youth. And so they do that for 6 weeks this summer, and there's a week of training and a week break. We pay them for it, but I think the biggest thing is that they get to share their faith with the youth and increase their own prayer life. And I think Martin can probably attest to this. He's a missionary that served for me for 2 years in our archdiocese.
Yeah, Martin, so let's hear from you. Actually, Martin, let's start here. Let's start with the place of discernment. How did you actually first come to think that, yeah, maybe I should do this Totus Tuus, and how did it proceed from there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I knew that for my summer breaks from college, I wanted to do something that was able to give back to the church and to the archdiocese specifically. But in the beginning, Totus Tuus wasn't really on my radar too much because I had kind of thought about it a little bit, but I was a little hesitant to try it in the first place because I am a fairly reserved person, and I knew that Totus Tuus kind of asked a lot of its missionaries.
Right.
So initially I was kind of hesitant to sign up, but I came to the realization that if I wanted to give back to the archdiocese, if I wanted to spend my summer in a good way that was helping people and helping to spread the gospel, that this was really the best opportunity. So it was just, it was kind of a coming to the light moment where I just realized this was the best opportunity, and I'm really glad that I got to that point where I was able to say yes and to try it out.
Okay, well, Nancy's given us the specs, but maybe give us a couple of stories. I mean, what was it like for you, Martin? I mean, was it everything that you had expected? Were there some surprises in there? What did the Lord do in and through your ministry?
Yeah, so it was what I expected, but also there is a lot of surprises. So there was a lot of stretching, like I kind of expected. There was a lot of things that were asked of us as missionaries, going out to these different parishes and serving the youth there. So it was a great opportunity for sacrifice and for kind of laying your life down at the cross, because there is a lot of long days and long hours that you worked. But it was a blessing because it was great to be able to see just the different encounters that each of the kids were able to have with Jesus and the different ways that he was made present to them through the program. And especially for me, being able to go out and to experience more of the churches of the archdiocese that I hadn't had an opportunity to before, to just see the life and the people that were in these parishes, and to see that the love they had for Christ was just so amazing.
Wonderful. Well, that's good to hear. Nancy, I know you've been involved for a long time here with Totus Tuus. So what are some of the fruits that you have seen or observed or witnessed or heard about through the Totus Tuus internship?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, with our missionaries, they're discerning either the priesthood or the religious life, a lot of them. I shouldn't say all of them. But for the other missionaries who aren't, to be surrounded by that, to be fully immersed in a day of prayer, because they're expected to do the Liturgy of the Hours and the Rosary and Divine Mercy, they're going to Mass every day. It's a very Catholic program. They're involved in the sacraments. And it just, you know, it does, like Martin said, it draws you out and you give everything to the Lord. And, you know, it's just, I think that's the biggest fruit that I see is the missionaries. But then the high schoolers, like these missionaries are not too far away from the high school age kids. And that's really what the program's kind of all about. You know, everybody thinks it's the elementary kids, but it's really not. It's trying to draw those hearts of those young people who are going to be heading off to college and really, you know, have them stay close to the Lord. And it gives them that base. Along with what the parish is doing. So it's a beautiful program all around, and it touches all the people in the parish, from the host families to, you know, the youth to the parish staff. It's amazing.
Yeah, very good. We're speaking with Nancy Schulze, Totus Tuus coordinator, and also with Martin Gawarecki, who's a senior at St. John Vianney College Seminary, who has been a Totus Tuus missionary as well. And Martin, I mean, is missionary the right term for this? Is this a truly missionary experience?
I would say absolutely, because I mean, just most basically, you're going out and you're spreading the gospel, and it might not seem like the most missionary territory. We're not going overseas or to a different state or to a different country. We're staying fairly local. But at the same time, like, the people that you're serving are still people who need to hear the word of the Lord, the gospel. So yeah, I would say absolutely. It's the best word to describe it is missionary.
Yeah, right. And I would definitely agree. I just wanted to hear it from your lips, Martin, to say, it's a very good thing. Nancy, back to you with just a little bit more of the logistics for it. Now, just again, you said there's a training and then there's a week break, and then it's full on, right? Is that right?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to correct you a little bit. So we do our training. We do that at the University of St. Thomas. We stay on campus. We, are there. Once they come to training, they're there pretty much for the summer. They do training, and they go right off into their parish. We do three weeks of parish work, and then 1 week of break for the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
Then they come back, and we do 3 more weeks of parish work, and then end with a retreat at the very end. Beautiful, beautiful program.
Wow. And it is paid, right? Let's just hit that again.
Absolutely. So they get to earn money while having fun. The teams that they meet with, just as an example, I called a past returner this last week to say, hey, are you interested in this year again? And she was with her whole team. Like, these are lifelong friendships that they make serving as a missionary on the team. So they earn money, having fun. It's a 7-week commitment out of their summer from kind of start to, 8-week, I guess, from start to end with that week break of the 4th of July. So June 2nd through July 29th is what we offer the program for.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's right in the middle of summer. So hopefully many college students or college age students will be able to attend that as well. And it's sounding like a good deal all the way through. But Martin, let's go back to you for just a second. Now, what kind of things do you think you encountered or experienced in your time serving as a Totus Tuus missionary that you're going to carry on that have made you a better disciple, a better man of God?
Oh wow! Well, that's a good question. There's a whole bunch that I could speak of, but I think kind of a couple main ones would be, like Nancy said, the friendships and the bond that you make with your team is really a lifelong bond. And these are people that you spend the summer with and that you get very close with, and you work together and you minister together. So you really form a very strong bond with your teammates. So that's one, is just absolutely spectacular friendships and relationships from that team. Another one would be, like Nancy said, kind of the focus on the high school age program, where you're meeting these youth who are coming close to adulthood, so they're kind of starting to make their own decisions and starting to try and figure out how life works, and looking with maybe a more critical lens at life based on their experience, and just being able to encounter them in that place and to kind of be the tool in some aspects that offers them the truth of the gospel is just a profound experience. So yeah, those two in particular.
Okay, great. Yeah, very good. I want to ask you both this, but Nancy, I'm going to start with you. So what kind of person should give some serious consideration to being a Totus Tuus missionary this summer?
Yeah, great question. I think somebody who is obviously practicing their Catholic faith, I mean, we want them to be practicing, who want to grow deeper with a deeper relationship to Jesus and really just offer everything they can to him, in his service as missionary. So somebody who really wants to grow in their faith, and a teacher. We've got seminarians, we've got accounting majors. We'll take anybody, just as long as they are striving to live, in the good Catholic way and bringing others along with them. Like, we want to gather as many people as we can right into our kingdom. And so by doing this, that really is giving them a taste of you know, what the priests and religious do on a daily basis.
Okay, yeah, very good. I like that. And Martin, same question to you, although I might tweak it a little bit by saying that I think you gave a rather profound statement there when you said that you're not necessarily the outgoing, gregarious type, and yet you thought, yeah, the Lord's calling me to this. So, and that was not so disappointing, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I'd echo everything that Nancy said. I mean, first and foremost, someone who is in love with Christ, who's living out their faith. But yeah, kind of as you're hitting at, like, you don't necessarily need to be the most outgoing or energetic person to be able to do it and to do it well, because it really, God gives you the grace when you're in the middle. So it's really just, yeah, it's anyone who wants to serve God and to spread the gospel, even if you aren't super extroverted, God gives you the grace to live freely and to live for Him.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would echo that too. I think some of the most profound missionaries that I have had the privilege of rubbing shoulders with have been actually kind of maybe a little bit more on the quieter side of people, but they're so profoundly influential in many ways. Let's go back to you, Nancy, for the logistics. What do people need to do if they're interested in learning more or even signing up to be, I mean, I assume there's an application involved.
There is an application. So they can visit our website, which is www.arch, A-R-C-H-S for Saint, P for Paul, M for Mary, org, and on there they can do a Google search, you know, on our website, or not a Google search, excuse me, just a search, and put in Totus Tuus, and that'll bring them up to the Totus Tuus page. There's videos there from past missionaries, from parishes, to kind of a layout of what the day actually looks like. I have a great parish here in our archdiocese that has provided that, and so that they can look at that, and then just click on I want to be a Totus Tuus missionary. And once they do that, then there's going to be a whole bunch more information that they kind of can read through to get the logistics and complete that application, and then I'll be in contact with them.
Okay, great. And is there any, like, hazing or any kind of, you know, do you put them through some kind of a huge test going into that in terms of your selection process?
You know, we do an interview, so I do an interview. I really want them to be aware of what they're getting into, because it is long days and you are expending your everything for your teammates and for the youth, and so I really want them to know what they're getting into before we even hire them. But it's an interview, and then, you know, I'm praying for the men and women that God will send our way to serve His church in this Totus Tuus summer catechetical program.
All right. Wonderful. Well, Nancy, Martin, it's been a great privilege and pleasure to speak with both of you. We'll pray for Totus Tuus. We'll ask that the Lord bless it, and with just the right people, the people that He already has in mind to do this. And if you're listening and you're thinking, this might be something that the Lord wants me to at least check it out, right? All right. So thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Martin, for joining us on Practicing Catholic. God bless you both.
Thank you, Patrick. God bless you.
Yes. Thank you. God bless.
Well, again, the website, it's easy to find. It's just archspm.org/totustuus. So that's TOTUSTUUS, archspm.org/totustuus. Share it with a son, a daughter, a grandkid, whatever you think who might be somebody who should check this out. Next up, we're going to ask a priest about how lay men can best serve and fulfill their unique roles within the church. You won't want to miss it. It'll be up right after this. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life. It might be vocations. It might be Catholic education. They're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. At a time when the culture is waging a war on femininity and masculinity, it's more important than ever to further educate ourselves on the distinct gifts that both men and women bring to the table within our church. Joining us today to share about the particular gifts and attributes of lay men is Father Tom Wilson, pastor of All Saints in Lakeville. Father, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Patrick. Good to talk again.
Yeah, good to talk with you again too, Father. So for some time in our culture, there seems to have been this battle between men and women. And in the past couple of years, we've heard a lot about toxic masculinity. So I want to ask you, Father, starting with, how might one define authentic masculinity?
Yeah, that's an excellent question to begin with, since the coverage and the popular conversation is almost always the reverse in terms of toxic. I think there's a few descriptors that are excellent for authentic masculinity. I took down several of them. One of them is courage. It's courageous. I think authentic masculinity is courageous in the face of difficult circumstances and willing to do the right thing, even at personal cost. A couple of other words that I think would go to describe authentic masculinity are service. Masculinity is about it's about service, and in particular within family life, it's about service of service within the family. Another word is protector. Authentic masculinity is about protecting that which the man is called to protect, again within his family, but also within faith, within church, and within culture and society. And finally, the word defend comes to mind. That a man who is authentically masculine will again defend what is true, beautiful, and good within his family, within his church, within his culture and society. So those are the things that I think they're certainly not an exhaustive list of things that describe authentic masculinity, but they're a good start, and frankly, I think that they provide a pretty good compare and contrast to what people will often describe as toxic masculinity.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Very good. I know that in at least certain segments of our society as of late, there's been, it seems like, almost an all-out effort to blur the lines between masculinity and femininity, but there's a danger there in the erasure of the difference between the two, isn't there?
Absolutely, Patrick. And, you know, I find it interesting when reading about these things, particularly in popular culture, if not necessarily within church conversation, that the biggest opponents, if you will, of transgenderism and all the repercussions of that are women who consider themselves to be absolutely rugged feminists. And I think that probably a lot of us, me included, and probably a lot of our listeners would not put ourselves into the feminist camp from a social standpoint or a political standpoint, but there is something about that says there is something distinctive and authentic about women that needs to be recognized, honored, and protected. And so, the blurring of the distinction between men and women, the blurring of the distinction between what is male and female, and essentially allowing that to be a personal decision rather than something that is a natural gift from God to each and every one of us as men and women, it impoverishes the other. And so when we blur these distinctions, what we're really doing is we're impoverishing true masculinity and true femininity. And I think, you know, like the author of the Harry Potter books and some others who've really stood up to some of this stuff in the social sphere realize that if authentic femininity is impoverished, it's lost, and real women lose in that. And so there's a beautiful complementarity between authentic and God-ordained masculinity and femininity that, in His plan, works together for the completion of the human family.
Yeah. Well, of course, it goes without saying, I hope, Father, that you know that we, and I would surmise that most, if not all, of our listeners who are listening right now, certainly if they're intentional listeners to the show, that we are grateful. We are definitely grateful for all of our diocesan priests, for all of our clergy. But what are some of the particular gifts or opportunities that laymen may have to serve the church that clergy or consecrated religious might not have?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and it's something that I think a lot of people are working on, and locally and nationally. I think, Patrick, it really begins in family, and if we begin sort of with the assumption of married men, they are called by God to lead the domestic church within their own households, and that's really where it begins to lead, to be faithful, to be courageous, to be service oriented, and defend their own families, and I would say, in particular, from my perspective, to defend the practice and the growth of faith within their own families. The reality is that we don't get a lot of cultural support for that, right? I mean, I think most people who kind of observe cultural directions and conversations, men trying to live out that authentic masculinity and faithful fatherhood are really often not exalted in the culture and society. I was just thinking about, you know, when was the last time any of us saw any kind of portrayal in particular TV shows, family-oriented TV shows, in which the father figure is portrayed as a man who is strong, a man who is courageous, a man who loves, a man who serves. They're almost always treated as, you know, at best an innocent buffoon, and at worst a grotesque abuser of power and abandoners of responsibility. And these are not good images. These are not good images that we're being bombarded with. And so, you know, as men are called to be faithful and leading within their families, I think there's also a tremendous need for bonding and mentorship among men. That men who have sort of lived through this and are good and faithful to their families need to be willing to mentor, teach, and be good examples for younger men.
We're speaking with Father Tom Wilson, pastor of All Saints in Lakeville, about masculine spirituality and the role of authentic men here in the church and in the world today. Father, but this topic is important for men, obviously, especially as you talk about bonding and mentorship. And it's something that, yes, I think the strengthening of those bonds of brotherhood between men, laymen in the church, is an excellent idea. But this is also an important topic for women too, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and one of the things that comes up in a lot of these conversations, Patrick, is the fact that if true, authentic, and holy masculinity are disrespected, it frankly impoverishes the unique beauty and authentic femininity that women bring. And if we just look at it culturally and socially, and examine the number of families that are headed by a single head of household, and what a high percentage of those are women. I don't know a lot of women who have found themselves in those situations that don't say, "I wish that there was I had a husband around to complement and to help and to serve and to protect within my own family." People don't rejoice at those things, and so the impoverishment of masculinity also then damages the beauty of femininity and the complementarity that God God intends, and with them both being lived fully and true, it gives a complete picture of, you know, God's intention for the complementarity of men and women, particularly in family life. So women are not helped when authentic masculinity is debased and mocked. They are not, and I think that most women would probably be on board with that as well.
Yep, it would seem to be the case for me as well. A couple minutes remaining here, Father, but I wanted to ask, any biblical models of masculinity that you'd suggest that our listeners could turn to?
Yes, there's so many. there's so many, Patrick. I've got a couple here to just start with. We'll start early in the scriptures. Abraham. Abraham was a man who was called by God, who was ready to defend and ready to go exactly where God wanted him to go. He was willing to abandon everything, really straight out of the gate, and in fact did. He left. He left and did exactly what God called him to do, despite it being physically challenging and all of that. God fulfills his promises to make his family fruitful and the like. So I would put Abraham in there. One of my favorites personally is Joshua. Again, Joshua is the one who's ordained by God to succeed Moses as the leader of the people going into the promised land, and it's still not an easy journey, and they've been getting ready, and they've been stubbing their toes and being unfaithful for 40 years. But as they are preparing, Joshua gives them one last sermon or homily or whatever you want to call it about whether they will cross into the promised land and be faithful, and his words for all eternity and for all men, I would say, are, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There's nothing more faithful and more masculine than that, than to speak for the household and say, "We are going to be faithful to the God who has gotten us here, and faithful to the God who wants us to live with him forever.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, Father. Sorry, I got to leave it there, but before we let you go, Father, could we have a blessing from you, and especially for all of the men in our archdiocese, please?
Absolutely. Almighty God and Father, we are grateful for the gift of masculinity and femininity, your plan for life, especially in the family. We ask especially that you bless all the men and the fathers and the families who are participating. Help them to be faithful and authentic to what God has called them to, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Wilson, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.
Very welcome. Thanks, Patrick. God bless. Bye-bye.
Father Wilson does appear regularly as a spiritual director on The Inner Life, weekdays at 11 a.m. here on Relevant Radio. You can search for these podcasted episodes at relevantradio.com. When we come back, the Practicing Catholic team wants to share some life-affirming events with you. So stick around.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day, I learn something new and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. You know, I was talking about Inner Life Podcasts. We've got Practicing Catholic Podcasts right over there at practicingcatholicshow.com. You can listen to our podcasted interviews by clicking on the links there or just by going to your favorite podcasting platform. First up on the upcoming events that you might be interested in, something I know a little bit about, we've got a Called and Gifted workshop coming up next weekend, Saturday, January 14th at St. Odelia in Shoreview. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in your life and in the life of your parish. You can learn the signs and characteristics of the most common charisms and start the discernment process of which charisms you have been given. All the information on that can be found, you know where, archspm.org/events.
Yeah, I was actually blessed to do this last month, I believe, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And it was just, I totally encourage people to sign up if they haven't done it before.
Thank you, Cami.
Yeah, that's my little plug for that. And as we know, January is pro-life month, and we have our Respect Life Mass coming up on Sunday, January 22nd at the Cathedral. So this Mass commemorates the lives lost to abortion and those wounded by abortion's aftermath. So it's also a time to recognize the extraordinary pro-life individuals within the Archdiocese with the St. JP2 Champion for Life Award. So lots of fun things going on with that Mass. And while we're here, January's Pro-Life Month, if you're looking for a place to give, consider the Life Fund that's run by the Archdiocese. We'll have somebody on next week to chat about that, actually. But yeah. It provides one-time, last-resort emergency funding to moms in need. So check out archspm.org/life for all the details on that.
Another way to get involved in this Pro-Life Month is the local March for Life with Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life. Sunday, January 22nd at the state capitol. It's no coincidence that it's held on the anniversary of the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. Mm-hmm. Gather with other pro-life friends, family, fellow parishioners, and anyone who will join you. Learn more at mccl.org/march.
Great opportunity there. Oh, they're all great opportunities, really. I mean, to stand up for the vulnerable, the unborn, and especially in this Respect Life Month. I think that's great. Yeah,
and, a lot of people think that with Roe versus Wade having been vacated, that the battle is done. No, only a new battle in the old war.
Right. I just had an eighth grader ask me, so with Roe v. Wade being overturned, is abortion now illegal? And I said, oh, no. We got a lot of work to do yet. So, but, you know, not just with the legalities of it, but also in supporting women who find themselves in an unexpected pregnancy.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that we need to focus on. We need to do. And in fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Next time, as you said, Cami, we've got Sonia Flomo from the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life talking about the Life Fund, which is a way for us to support expecting mothers facing crisis pregnancies. We're also going to have Bob Swift from St. Michael Church. He has an exciting opportunity for those of us who are looking to go on pilgrimage this year. It's a great year for a pilgrimage. I think you should do it. Yeah. Maybe the Practicing Catholic team should do it.
Oh, huh? I would be so down.
Absolutely. That would be a lot of fun. Okay, I'm going to start. I'll get us back on track here. We're also going to have a pair of missionaries talk about what it's like to serve the poor of another country. So a lot of great stuff coming up on the show next time. We're so grateful that you've joined us this time. Don't forget to go to practicingcatholicshow.com for links to our social media accounts and all else. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.